There are things in this world that are not always what they seem. There are also moments in time that we see, hear, and feel things we cannot explain. 32 will explore all of the aspects of what lies beyond our physical world. And maybe, just maybe, get some answers. Until then, we will keep wondering.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of 32. This is actually the third episode. We had a couple episodes last week. We were trying out new stuff, new platforms, and just other different conversations. And I think that we did really well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yep. As soon as I can get all my location and stuff figured out. But yeah, the topics have been great.
Right. So we have a special guest tonight. I did the poster for him. He's an author. And, you know, you've read part of the book already.
Yes.
And I'm excited to talk to Sean Farewell and, you know, to hear his story about his book and whatnot. And yeah, so. Without further ado, let's get him on here and get this show on the road. Hey, Sean, welcome to 32.
Hey, Jay, and hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
So, I think it was you that contacted me about you know, promoting your book, and I wanted to ask you, how long before your initial event that you had did you decide to make that book?
Probably 6 years after my experience with death. It was about 2000, and I was considering writing my story at the time to help cancer patients. But life throws you a curveball, and there's always something happening in life that pulls you back from things that you want to do.
Right.
So it was kind of put on hold for the next 10 years.
Oh, wow. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about the title of the book and a little bit of the backstory. And then I know Elizabeth might have some questions for you, but I kind of wanted to give my listeners a little bit of information about the title of the book, as well as what kind of led up to that and a little bit about your experience with writing that.
Well, a lot of people really enjoy the cover, by the way.
I do. I think it's really cool.
My illustrator, Nick Welsh, is so gifted, but he's more of the crazy stuff he draws. And I knew that he would take the concept of what I was trying to seek in this cover. Mm-hmm. And we first did one in 2014, and it had too many colors in it, but it had me falling from these three lights that were attached to me. And I wrote a small story back in 2010 when I was on Facebook called The Night I Died. And that's the image where my soul was being pulled up by three lights of energy. And at that point, it severed me because it was speaking to me that you're not done. You need to go back.
Right. So talk a little bit about the basic, how it all kind of came about, that, you know, what the event was of your demise and what led up to that moment where you were on the other side.
Well, I was diagnosed actually 10 days before Christmas in 1993, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I had T-cell, which is actually the worst that you can have. Your T-cells are your cancer killers. They destroy the cancer cells, but mine were infected by the cancer cells, which meant I had nothing to fight with. Now, protocol through the medical field was chemotherapy, but they were just seeing if something would work. And I spent 7 months in a hospital. There was two times where I almost passed away due to the side effects of the chemotherapy, what it was doing to my body. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there was nothing left medically or scientifically to save my life. My body is going to expire. And that was the reality at the age of 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So not much that you can do at this point. You know, since I was a child, I would have many, many of these very strange experiences, dreams, visions. This started like back at the time of my birth in 64. So when I got up to this part of 94, I was ready to leave this world because I was so tired of what they did to me in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I did everything I could possibly do to fight this. But when it comes to science, there weren't any other options for me.
Right, right. So having this incident, was this something that, I guess I should say, how is the surprising aspect of it? I mean, after you know, going through all this, and when you look back at some of this stuff, how was that, how much did that really change your life after you had this event, this life event?
Well, I mean, I struggled after this experience I had because I was afraid to tell people. Mm-hmm. They might think you're insane.
Right.
Even the doctors afterwards were like asking me, what did you do? Because they knew I wasn't going to survive. Mm-hmm. And again, I just looked at them and said, look, can I just go home now? Like,
right.
I'm done right here, please, you know?
Right.
And right. It took 17 years to finally get my awakening, and this is when everything just exploded. But like I said, there's a lot more before that, all these different type of supernatural events that were going on in my life, paranormal experiences. I've had almost close to 10 near-death experiences, and people are like going, we can't kill you, like, what's right happening with you here? Right. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm a cat with 9 lives.
Right, right. So you talk about the paranormal, but you talk about the paranormal and your experiences with the paranormal. I mean, I've lived with it my whole life as well, but is it something that, how much of a impact, I should say, compared to then to now, that the paranormal would have an impact on you?
Well, I mean, as a child and going through all these experiences, it was the universe just slowly preparing me for something that I'm going to do. Now, mm-hmm. I had no idea. It just, I live my life by just going with the flow. I mean, you know, when you're going through these experiences as a child, you still don't tell people because, again, they probably would lock you up, especially, you know, back in the 70s.
Right.
So for myself, it was a journey trying to understand what the universe is trying to share with me.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you remember the most, that like kind of like talk about like points in the book where you really connected with the other side, and what did you see? I mean, I kind of wanted just to get blue like bullet points a little bit, because I want to read the book. You know what I mean? I don't want you to spoil it for me, but yeah, but it, I mean, kind of talk to me about some highlights, some things that really were really notable to be mentioned in the book that you thought people really got to notice.
Our guardian angels, they're real. Mm-hmm. They truly exist. From what I've learned, and she's in the book, we're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm having my life review while I'm still alive. When you mm-hmm. cross over, you'll get your life review, but this is my life review to help souls here on Earth. I always said my book's a roadmap. It's going to lead you back to that light. Mm-hmm. But Gloria came into my life when I was about 5 years old. I was quite ill in the hospital. I was suffering with asthma. And in 1969, there wasn't much they can do to save your life. And they figured, he's not going to survive. My oxygen levels were going down. They had me in a tent, pumping oxygen in there, trying to get my levels up. But they were concerned. They didn't think I was going to survive. But Gloria came to me every night. And I remember this woman just shining in white, like there was this glow. And she didn't have to speak because I could hear her through the consciousness. And her smile was so comforting. She'd be like, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I'm with you on this journey. So that's where it probably started for me, was that time in the hospital. And then again, it just started to escalate.
I think based off of just from what I was able to read, you did a really good job with capturing the essence of her.
Thank you.
It was clear that there's so much love there.
There is.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's like, there's a part again, which is further down, where I get to see her a few times. And the most incredible thing people will learn is that the night she spoke to me, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm. What was some of the things that she said to you? Do you remember?
Yeah. This was 2012, early 2012. And this is the part where there was a spiritual battle against these dark spirits. Mm-hmm. And this was afterwards. And she channeled through my friend Carolyn, who is a very powerful medium. And Carolyn has an accent. She's from Arkansas. And this lady that was talking to me, she first started to speak a language I couldn't even understand. But what it was angel language. And mm-hmm. I tried to stop her. And they say you can't. When they have a message from God, they have to tell you the message.
Right.
And everything went silent. And then I started to say, okay, who's there? Who's there? And she was speaking to me now in a language that I can understand, but it still wasn't Carolyn, because Carolyn's got a deep Southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me about these rooms that I have to go to. And she says, your father, which is God, he's left you all these keys and you've got to open these doors, and there's going to be file cabinets and all this information. And she was in a hurry because she needed to get this message out. And one of the things that was really, really creepy is before she ended the conversation, she said, Sean Barry, beware, the beast is near.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Wow. My hair stood up when she said that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I've had my run-in with the darkness a couple times, and yeah, quite threatening. So, yeah, it's when I hear people, you know, go through experiences like that, and with the connection to the other side, and the messages that they do get, it's kind of comforting for other people, especially living people, you know, and that do have that. Kind of that fear of, you know, what's on the other side, what happens when I die and all this. So it's stories like yours and others who have shared NDEs, you know, their personal NDEs, near death experiences. And it gives people hope. And so I would, I would beckon to say that, you know, your book has probably already helped a lot of people. And, you know, having said that, you know, are you, I will ask you, are you planning on writing another book?
I have a friend. She lives just off the island of Australia, Tasmania. And she used to talk to me a lot in January, February of 2012, because in the book, I was given as a gift because I did something for God that he wanted to see if I was willing to sacrifice my life to do this. Mm-hmm. This is all part of the book. And we could talk bits and pieces about it because I'm sure the audience is going to go, okay, what's he saying? I had a gateway in my basement for 6 months and mm-hmm. I had a gatekeeper. His name was Simon and he would allow the spirits in and out every night. On an average night, I'd have about 70 to 100 spirits just hanging out with me in my basement. I literally had a spirit cafe. It was the craziest mm-hmm. thing. And mm-hmm. what was strange about it, yep. too, with I'm these spirits with that. Is that
I call
they were,
them,
like, celebrating. There were yeah. children running around my basement, animals running around. They were dancing. They were just celebrating because it was such a beautiful moment with me and what I did. They were so mm-hmm. excited, and there were nights where I'm trying to talk to Carolyn through Skype, and you could hear them chirping like they're trying to break through. And Carolyn's mm-hmm. got to say, guys, settle down. Let us finish first. We'll answer your questions. And the funniest thing is it got quiet. We're looking at each other. We start talking, and they start up again. It's like, guys, mm-hmm. settle down. So this was one of the major things that my friend Jeanette said, you should write that story, the 6 months with mm-hmm. the gateway, because when I wrote Fallen from the Light, I left a lot of stuff out because people would say, okay, either he's insane or he's on some heavy duty drugs. One of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. the things that I experienced, Jay, in that basement would, for some people, it would excite them or mm-hmm. it would terrify them.
Right. You know, people who don't understand or know, you know, the mechanics of the spirit world in that sense, they're afraid of it. And it's, you know, it's easy to come by, you know, I mean, there's spirits everywhere and a lot of people are blind to it. And I had chosen, you know, to try to kind of block it out as I was growing up, but it didn't work that way. Just because who I am, it just was just like, you know, it's kind of like running away from, and I use this analogy softly. It's like trying to run away from a cops after robbing a bank, you know, you know, it just, eventually you're going to get caught. And, you know, so it's just, I've lived my whole life like that. So I can relate to what you were saying a little bit. And, you know, I know when Elizabeth and I got together doing this podcast, and as well as we've done others in the past, you know, we have that spiritual connection, you know, and it was spirit and my guide who told me to tap her as a medium for a paranormal team. And we became good friends. And so when you talk about the spiritual side of that, and talking about, you know, the basement, your basement and all the spirits there. And, you know, we can kind of relate to that a little bit. I've ran into what I call the spiritual way station, because these spirits come through this building. They come through and there's a lot of them, and some stay and some go, but there's enough of them to make that traffic noticeable. So when you were talking about all these spirits and you could feel it, you know, it was just, yeah. And I felt it, and I know, you know, it's like a portal, and I know that where there are several of them, and not too far from my house where I used to do my first podcast there. And that was the house that was built in 1885, you know, so, or 1855, I should say. So
it's a lot of souls that pass through there.
That pass through there, excuse me, and they still pass through there. Yeah. When I go to visit there and talk to the owner, I had their spirits there that know. I mean, when I used to go there and I would walk in, the lights would dim. Mm. And so the owner would know that I was in the building. And so, yeah, that was kind of surreal. But, you know, having, you know, these type of emotions and in relationships with spirits and, you know, even the NDEs, the near-death experience, you know, it's life-altering, but it's almost like an awakening. And I really think that, you know, from the way you describe your particular event and that you had this kind of aha moment, were you, when you were growing up and you were experiencing, you know, paranormal events or things that were weird like that, was there a time where you were kind of waiting for that aha moment, or did you have any of those aha moments before your NDE?
Oh, I've had many. That's like, I told people when I was writing the book, I might have to write three of these because there was just too much. And like you're saying, it's once you see this and feel it, it's there. It doesn't go away. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's because mm-hmm. it's part of us.
Yep.
I was about 7 years old coming home from school, and there was a commotion going on, and I stopped and I see this taxi in the street. People were screaming. A woman was trying to get this guy, and she was cursing. And then I see this lifeless body on the ground, and I'm staring, but I can't see the face. I can't tell if it's a boy or a girl, but I had this weird feeling that I knew who was lying on the ground. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's John, my teammate from soccer. That's mm-hmm. what came to my head. And mm-hmm. I believe his spirit was right beside me, confused, because when you are hurt severely to the point of death, it's a sudden death, the soul is in shock because it just doesn't understand, why am I out of my body? What is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt John was trying to communicate with me. And this is where Gloria steps in, and she's telling John, Sean's not ready yet to hear. He senses, mm-hmm. he feels, he knows,
mm-hmm.
but he's not yet ready to hear you. And I believe mm-hmm. she guided him home. 2 days later, I'm sitting at the table and the phone rings and my dad answers it. And it's John's parents. And they're asking if all the teammates can come to the funeral. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was right. It was John. But again, I didn't tell my dad this because I'm 7 years old. How am I supposed to know this stuff?
Right.
So for me, that was a really powerful moment where spirit was asking me for my help, but mm-hmm. I wasn't yet ready to assist John, but I know Gloria did.
Mm-hmm. Are you counseling spirits now?
Well, they were keeping me busy for a while.
Yeah.
They do that.
I would wake up and have one like looking straight in my face. You know, it's like a little, hey, excuse me.
Surprise.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Personal space. Yeah.
Can you leave, please? I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I see children a lot for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this beautiful girl a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting there, I was in a meditated state, and I saw her running through the basement, and she had this color behind her, like a rainbow. It was following her. It was the coolest thing. And she was mm-hmm. skipping like she was singing, and she stops and she smiles at me. She waves at me, and I'm waving back at her. And then she just keeps skipping away into the bathroom. And as she's in the bathroom, I could still see the color that she's pulling. It was the coolest thing. Hmm. And then the color went. So I got up to go peek in the bathroom to see if she's still there. Of course, no, she's gone. But she's just sort of saying, hey, we're here. We haven't left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, right, and those are the right. nice ones. I love the nice ones. I just don't like the dark ones because I've had quite a bit of those try. And you probably had that feeling too.
Yeah, I have actually. I've had them. I've actually had one where it wasn't that it was a bad one, but it was a confused one. I think I was out on my deck, and it was late at night, and I was standing there, and this old lady in a nightgown floated up the ramp, and I was like, okay, I'm tired. I'm making that up. It's my imagination. And, you know, I'm telling myself this, and this person got, this female got closer. I could sense her, and I closed my eyes, and now I'm getting full description. Now, your brain can make a full description of certain things, but you really kind of got to put a little effort in that. And I didn't put any effort in that. And so she was confused. I kind of tried to ignore her. And I think that's when my spirit guide was helping her, because she was an old lady. She passed in her sleep. And I know it's a knowing. You just know certain things. You know what I mean? And like you said, you were talking with, you had that your teammate, you knew that it was John, you know?
I knew it was John because he's reaching out right into your head. Right. I mean, people will say, well, it's just in your head. And I say, yeah, of course it's in my head because they're talking to me.
Right.
You know,
right,
it's like, right. But Carolyn and myself for a few months while we're working with the portal, in my basement, we were pulling souls that were stuck, and we were guiding them to the light, and Archangel Michael was there waiting for them to guide them home. And I was learning this stuff, which was amazing, because there were a lot of the people that were confused were in tragic accidents, and they were in shock, and they had no idea where they were, and they found us. And they can see, like, once you're open to it, we have a beacon and they can see the beacon.
Oh, yeah.
So they head straight, to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a song I used to play by Coldplay, I Will Fix You. And it's like he's going to fix you before you go to heaven. And there was this little girl, she died. And she was in the basement, and Carolyn said she came over to me, and I got down on my knee, and she hugged me, and then she waved goodbye, and Carolyn watched her go into the light, and she was good. And every time I hear that song, I think about her, because these were the beautiful things that I was learning. See, people think it's all scary and boogeyman stuff and everything.
And it really isn't.
No. What we were doing is we were helping lost souls find their way home. And that's why I wrote the book, to help these souls that are still alive like us to find that light and don't get lost. And if you do get lost, we're out here to help you.
Right. And that's something that me and Elizabeth have talked about too, is that that's what we wanted to do the show. We wanted to be able to help people.
It's,
you know,
beautiful.
What I mean? So,
yeah. There's nothing greater.
What were you going to say, Elizabeth? What were you going to say?
Yeah. Do you think that, so the spirits, because you said that it was a gateway that was in your basement, and as you were talking to Caroline, do you feel like the beacon was coming, and so the spirits were coming to you in order to go through that gate? Or do you feel like, because when you said she hugged me, it was almost like, was there telepathic communication happening to where they understood this is me going to the light? Or because they saw you, they knew that it was time to go?
They found us. Carolyn's very powerful, by the way. Like, she was like a teacher for me to learn these things. So she was helping me. But they were showing up every night in our basement. And even like we had an incident where another portal opened up And we heard this horrible screaming, people in pain and agony. And we pulled somebody out of that portal before we closed it, because it was dark. And it was a young man who died from a heroin overdose. Mm. He was in this torment of hell. And once we pulled him out, the light grabbed him so fast.
Wow.
And he was gone. Yeah. And Carolyn started crying, and I was so choked up, like, wow. And she was so happy because he didn't know what happened to him, his soul.
Mm-hmm.
He was lost. So these were things that were frequently happening for a while in the basement. But this, again, God gave this to me for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have told people back then what I was doing, they would have had me removed from that. Probably wind up in some psycho war.
Yeah.
Right. The one thing that a lot of people tried to kind of force the issue is that they don't, if they are, they have the gifts, you know, me and Elizabeth do have gifts. It's not easy to come out of the proverbial closet, so to speak, when you have gifts, because people think you're crazy. I've had several people come up to me during readings or whatnot. The first thing they ask is, am I crazy? And I keep telling them, no, you're not crazy that I know of.
Yeah.
If they were truly crazy, I would probably see that and say, well, define crazy, you know? So, but yeah, no, a lot of people don't quite understand the concept of, you know, what has happened to them and their spiritual gifts opening and receiving that knowledge and that knowing. And a lot of people don't quite understand, for people who exercise their gifts, it's kind of like a lot of the things, it's just, you know, you don't have to really think about it. It just, you just know, you know. And yeah, so.
Do you feel like your beliefs changed at all, like before your experiences and after? Because I can imagine, like, all of a sudden I've got all of these spirits in my basement that I'm helping cross over, versus before, like, I'm ready to pass on myself, you know?
To be honest with you, I thought I had the coolest job.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't care what people would think or whatever, what they say. I felt that divine light in my soul, and I know why it was there. And
yeah.
I have a relationship. I mean, we all do, but I have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And
yep.
I've been in His presence here on earth 5 times, I can count, 3 in His light. And actually, I've seen Him as a man twice, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, and I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and the night that I died, I remember I went to bed, and I heard this woman calling me, and I knew it was Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
She's asking me to reach up. So mm-hmm. I found myself stretching, like taking my arms out and stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 3 lights were coming down from the ceiling, but she's telling me reach up and grab the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens with people that are in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
People that actually can't move for some reason start to move, and they're stretching their arms straight up to the ceiling, and everyone's going, what are they doing? And mm-hmm. I'm sitting there with a smile on my face going, oh, because the big guy upstairs is calling now, it's time to go. You know, it's like, right. And this is what they're right. doing. They're like, they are so happy they're getting out of this world. Because mm-hmm. when I was there attached to those lights, I felt nothing but a love that doesn't even exist here on earth.
Right.
And he said to me that, and I remember the first thing he said, everything's going to be all right. And I want you to remember that, Elizabeth, because there's a part, I have this out-of-body experience in church. And someone says that to me too, by the way.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, there's a connection right there. And then he just basically, in a split second, I knew everything was going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And the freakiest part is when he severed the connection. I felt like I was on a roller coaster. When you're going down, you feel those G forces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like a split second, and when I jolted into my body, I remember I lifted up out of bed. I've had this big gasp of air come out of my lungs because I was dead.
Yeah.
I remember my fiance freaking out, thinking I'm having a heart attack, and I want to tell her like this thing I just experienced, and she basically said, "I don't want to hear it."
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. And I lied there for 2 hours while she slept, looking at the ceiling, speaking through my mind, saying, "Hey, can you come back? Because that was pretty cool."
It's those type of moments in life when you just, you know, I've had myself, speaking of, you know, lying in my bed, and when I was trying to discover, you know, or accepting my gifts or whatnot, I went to see my grandmother's grave and my mother's grave because they're right next to each other. And I was asking, you know, what is happening to me? Why, you know, what's going on? Why am I now experiencing more of this? When I got home and that night, and I went to sleep, and now I can't confirm if I was awake or asleep, but it felt like I was awake. And then I saw my grandmother standing 5 feet above the floor with a light behind her off to the side, and had this look on her face like, well, okay. So, you know, and it was, and the only words I can get out was, "Oh shit." And so that, and I must have said it out loud. I must have. I mean, because it felt real. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like a dream. You know, I don't dream about my own bedroom. You know what I mean? So
I get like the way you describe that. It's kind of like you're asleep but awake. So
right.
You're in the middle state where your third mm-hmm. eye now is relaxed and it's open.
Right.
And that's usually when I see them the best. And mm-hmm. and I try now to not wake up in a sense. I want to stay in that middle state because I want to hear what they have to say to me.
Right. And that's not easy.
No, it's not.
Especially if you're tired.
But you know, my grandmother, she was my mom. She raised us, and she did the best that she can do. At least 10 years of my life, 11 years of my life, until she passed away with cancer. And my world was shattered when she left. Our whole life changed at home. It was just not the same anymore. She was like the backbone. But when I was in the basement in 2012 with the gateway, one night Carolyn goes, "Oh, we got some visitors." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, who's there?" She goes, "Oh, looks like your grandmother's there." And I went, "What?" And then she said, "Oh, your dad's there too." I'm like, "He is? Oh, and your best friend Jerry's there. They're the three of them. They're all there sitting there laughing at you and everything." I'm like, so they would come to visit me in the basement to see me. And they're just like, "Hey, we're here. Don't worry about it. Just you've got to go through this process." And, you know, a lot of people are going to turn their backs on you, which they did. A lot of people did. But they said, just keep doing what you're doing, because in the end, those same people that turn their backs on you, they're going to be calling you one day for help. And it happens.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that. Like I said, it goes back to the people who are afraid of stuff they do not understand. You know, and
it's
if
knowledge.
They don't understand it, yeah, right.
If we can, this is a great platform that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're sharing this kind of knowledge to help other souls. I mean, when we're babies, our third eye is open. We can see. We talk to dead people all the time, and we didn't realize. To us, it just seemed like somebody like just a regular person.
Yeah.
As we get older, we start to lose our innocence. And the eye starts to close because we stop believing.
Right.
Some people are very fortunate. Their eyes stay open. I knew a girl, and she's in the book too. She was a medium helping out at the time. Her name was Beck. She was from Australia. And Beck, we could be on Skype and she'd be going, oh, I go, what, Beck? Oh, there's a bunch of ladies walking around your basement. Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. What do they look like? Well, they're like dressed in the 19th century. Oh, cool. What are they doing? Well, they're just sitting over there like having tea, listening to our conversation. I go, oh. And then she would go, oh, what? Another one. Where? Right beside you. Oh, really? Yeah. It's a little girl. Really? What does she want? She just wants to hang out with you, Sean. She really likes you. Well, okay. I like you too. You know, it was just things like that that were going on.
Right.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of, I mean, when they come into my mind like that, and I could see them, you'd be walking down the street, or I'll go into an old building or something, and it's just like, you instant get that flash. Mine are usually like maybe 2 seconds, if not less.
Yeah.
But that imprint stays there. Now,
it does.
Inconsequential thought aside, which is just random thoughts that your brain just is always working and it's doing just random things. You think of, you know, a guy riding his bike down the street, or you think of car accident, you think of this, you think of flowers, whatever. But when you get those, when spiritual people get those imprints and they stay there, that's there's substance there. And that's, and I know that. When I go to sleep, I usually, first thing I do is close my eyes, and as soon as I close my eyes, I have another set of eyes looking right back at me. Every night. Now, what they want, I have no idea. But a lot of it is, from what I've been told, is just, they just watch. You know what I mean? They look in on you a lot. Because I'm very protected in that sense. Yeah. And so I have a lot of watchers, so to speak. But there was once where I was closed my eyes and I kept seeing a pink elephant. And I'm like, why am I seeing this stuck pink elephant? Well, it just flashed. And then it stuck with me for 2 weeks until I did a ghost tour walk in my town. And this kid came up to me and knew I was a medium and said, do you have anything for me? And I was like, never read a child before. Instantly, the pink elephant came through. And I was like, oh, that's why. And it was his grandmother who gave it to his sister, but she didn't really care for it. So he took it. And she's grateful that he took it. And that was kind of the message, saying it's okay to have it. You know, so that to me, when you have that imprint, and it stays with you, there's substance there. So I always tell people to be mindful of that. When you get something and it kind of sticks with you, you know, whether it be positive or negative, there's some substance there. Whether it plays out is, you know, beyond me. I don't know. But most of the time, it does.
I've had an experience this night. This was after the battle was over. We took down the dark spirits with the archangels. Great story. I hope to put this in a TV show because people need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And we freed all the people that were trapped by this dark entity who was keeping them like trophies. He wasn't going to let them go. And he got his in the end. Justice was served. So they were all happy and everything that I freed them and that. And so there was a night I was sleeping and I feel someone kissing my lips and I'm giggling. I'm like, I thought, you know, at the time when I was married, my wife wanted to get frisky or something like this. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
What are you doing?
So I know. So I can actually feel the lips. And then I open my eyes. There's nobody there. I turn over. She's sound asleep.
Right.
I'm going, okay, what's up with this picture here, right? So I told Carolyn the next day. And Carolyn's talking to that spirit lady, and they're a bunch of them. They're all giggling and laughing. Carolyn says, Sean, you got to put your foot down. This one fell in love with you.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I'm thinking like, well, a little spirit love here. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I've heard of instances like that. Yeah.
But
Yeah,
what's really,
I
really.
have too.
So out of curiosity, if you were to have, if there's people listening now that maybe they're experiencing the same type of thing that you did, or even spirits, because spirits are coming through as we're communicating, that is there anything that you would say to them to help get them through what they're experiencing?
I would suggest that they find someone who's legit, that could be a teacher for them and not charge them any money, because that's not legit. You see, where we come from, we don't charge people money for what we do. We do this because this is what God wants us to do. And it's because they need someone to make them understand, like me. Carolyn was sort of my teacher to get me going. And what she's taught me, I've passed on to other people. And it's because I know it could be terrifying. It could feel like hell. You don't know what to do. You're afraid to talk to people about this. But if you can find someone out there that has that heart of gold, that says, listen, I know what you're going through, and I'm going to share some information with you, how to practice your meditating, your breathing, practice your prayers, learn about how to protect yourself in that white light, call upon Archangel Michael and all the archangels, call your guides, call your guardian angel. Hey, we even have out-of-work angels, and they're looking for work too, so you can call those guys. But we're there for these people. I've helped so many people after this, and they said, how do I repay you, Sean? And I said, well, you repay me by helping someone else.
All right,
That's
pay
how
it
you repay
forward.
me.
Yeah, you pay
Exactly.
it forward. I totally
We're out
agree.
there.
I
There's
mean,
people out, there's people out there that will do this.
I mean, there's a lot of different people that are that have, fantastic gifts, but are afraid to exercise them or use them or whatnot. And I get it. It's the society that we live in, and we have to sometimes tread lightly, but I do believe that, certain things happen at certain times. There is no coincidence. There is no,
No, there's none.
I
It's
mean, things happen for a reason.
like what you're doing right now is a platform to open those doors for people that need that help. I only wish that people will watch this afterwards. They'll share this with other friends. Say, you need to watch this interview because this was really nice. It wasn't frightening,
It's
even though that
very
Sean's
out
got a lot of frightening stories.
No, it's very, being outspoken and being honest. I mean, being as honest and as genuine as you possibly can, that resonates, that frequency resonates, it connects with people. If you're fake, and if you try to, pass it off on something where it's not legitimately genuine,
They'll see through that.
they'll see it right through, they'll see right through it. But then there's other ones that will take that like a bass, hook, line, and sinker. You know what I mean? And they'll get sucked in on that. So always be mindful about how genuine you are. And that goes with anything. I mean, work, anywhere.
You have to be true to yourself and what you're
Yeah.
doing and what you're believing in, that it's the greater good of humanity. Because when we leave this world, everything that we've done is staying here. We're going to take home the energy we created, and we're going to see how well we actually shared that energy, the good and the bad. We need to learn. And this is one of the things why I've had all these experiences, from the battles with the dark spirits to helping lost souls, to helping cancer patients that I've worked with. These were all things that were a positive thing in my life. Like, no one is perfect. We all have flaws, but the greater good in the end is sharing what is real.
And that, with that, being real and being honest and doing that. The giver gives, you know, the giver gets some sort of validation for that. You know what I mean? And that's also a confidence booster. You know, I mean, if you're giving that confidence, or if you're given that confidence by due of the process of you helping somebody else, you know, I mean, that's where it's at, you know, and you're not doing it to be paid or be repaid, but just that emotional, I'm glad I could help you, and humble yourself instead of saying, I'm sitting up here on a high horse and I know what I did. And, you know, boasting is something completely different. But if you have that ability to be humble and to accept that and take that in internally with a positive frequency, yeah, that's worth them being and having all the money in the world.
Elizabeth, when you get to 1987 in my book, that's when I move in the haunted house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the dark history that it holds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's connected to me. And even when I left, it stayed connected for 22 years.
Wow.
And then it was time for the truth to come out. And it was time that God wanted to see, am I willing to sacrifice my life? You see, this is the thing about the ultimate sacrifice. People don't do that. I was willing to die to free these spirits. And if I would have lost, my soul would have been trapped with them. And then who's going to help me?
Right. That's a lot of hate.
Yeah. And I didn't think about that back then, because the only thing I thought about was to free them so they can be with their loved ones. And whatever it takes to free them, I was going to do this, not understanding fully what the consequences would be if I failed. But then I knew I was going to fail because I didn't have any doubt that God was going to give me my backup, which he did.
And
it changed the game. And if people would just give the ultimate sacrifice, and it's not asking a lot, but it's just being there for the person that needs it so bad, because we don't know what kind of darkness is going through this individual.
Or following your intuition, even when you're not sure that that's the right thing to do.
He gave me many beautiful gifts, but back when I was healing my body after all the chemotherapy and I was getting healthy again, I was told I would never have children because the chemo killed everything in my body. And I got tested 3 times in 2 years and it came back as 0 sperm count. So the doctor said, you'll never have your own children. You'll probably have to look into other options or whatever. But something happened where my wife got pregnant and we were excited. Oh my God, it's a miracle. We're going to have a baby and everything, right? And maybe 4 weeks into her pregnancy, she miscarries. And we're like devastated. We're thinking this is probably our only chance we ever had. But again, the miracle happened where my daughter was born in 97 and my son in 2000. And we were like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Like even the hospital's going, who is this guy? You know?
Right.
So we go on with our lives and everything. And it was that time with all the stuff happening in 2011. Carolyn was telling me it was just after the battle again, everything, because all the spirits were coming through. Carolyn says, oh, your daughter's here. I'm thinking like, what do you mean my daughter's here? She's upstairs. She goes, no, the daughter you lost. And I'm like, what? And she's standing right in front of me. And I go, does she have a name? She said, her name's Maggie. Say hi to Maggie. And I'm like, hey, Maggie. And then I'm like, I said, okay, Maggie, I'll tell you what. Come to my dreams tonight and come visit me. Please, I want to see you. Carolyn said, she's shaking her head, yes. That night, I was in, like Jay does, same thing. I'm in that state. I see this little girl at the edge of my bed standing there. she looks like her mom, like about 10 years old, long blonde hair.
Wow.
And I'm looking at her, and she's smiling back at me. I said, I love you, Maggie. And she goes, I love you, Daddy. And we both smile. And then I just leaned my head back, and I went back to sleep. Well, the next day, I didn't know my wife was awake watching this.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, did you know what you were doing last night? And I just looked at her and said, oh, when I was saying hi to her daughter Maggie, she didn't believe this stuff. She refused to believe it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like I know what's waiting for me when I leave this world. So I'm not afraid. I'm actually excited because I had this thing, 2005, the last night my father survived his cancer, he died the next day. I made a promise with my dad, and nobody knew this promise. I didn't tell a soul. And I said to my dad, I've got all these people here, Dad. They're going to pick you up. They're going to take care of you. Just go with them. Because he was scared. And I said, Dad, when my time comes, I said, you buy the fishing hole with the fishing poles with the dogs and Jerry, my best friend who passed over. I said, I'll meet you at the fishing home. Promise? My dad said, okay, promise. 6 years later, when I first met Carolyn, and how did I know the validation that she was a real medium? We start talking, and she says, oh, your father's very proud of you. And I just thought anybody would just say that, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Then she says to me, oh, he was really scared, but those people you sent him, they took care of him. And I was like, what? And then she says this, oh, he's at the fishing hole with the fishing poles. How would she know that?
Right.
Because she was connecting with my dad. That was the validation that I knew. Mm-hmm. Carolyn was on my team. She had my best interest. God put her in there. There's no coincidence, like you said, Jay. People will come into your life for a reason. And maybe it's that moment that you need them there.
Right. It wouldn't have been for Elizabeth. I would have never have known who my guide is. She knew. And I never knew the name until she said it, and then I was like, oh, and then as soon as she said it, I hear this surprise, you know, and I'm like, and that's been what, I mean, 4 years ago. It's been a while.
But she gave you the validation, and this is something people search for the validation, because you could tell them whatever you want to tell them, but if you don't give them something that they know, like, oh my God, how did you know that?
Right. It has to be tangible. You know, you can give the roundabout answers and all that, but it has to be that one line or that one sentence or that one name or one word that does it. And I spent a long time trying to search for validation just because of the fact that I was going through my own turmoil of accepting myself as gifted, you know what I mean? And I had to just throw that aside and say, I have to accept this regardless. I can't just, you know, as Matthew McConaughey would say, his dad would always tell him, don't half-ass it. And so that's kind of what I go by. I just try not to half-ass it. You know, if you're going to go in it, go in it. If you're going to take that frequency, take all that frequency. You know what I mean?
I went through so much because of the spirit activity that was going on and everything that was happening. My marriage came to an end. She just couldn't handle what was, because I was growing. I was get to a higher frequency, like a level that we get to. And I was getting there, and I wanted her to grow with me, but she stayed like at a much lower level, where those kind of levels are more about the materialistic world. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look at that anymore. I saw that light and it was like, no, that's where you want to go. You don't want to go down. You really don't want to go down. You want to go up. And I was getting to that point where it was too much for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough because I had to make a choice. There was a moment, the pain was so horrible inside me, I couldn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. I try to go to sleep, maybe, okay, I'll get a break from the peace. But then I would dream of it. And I was in constant pain, either sleeping or being awake. And again, I was being tested to the point where I felt like I was going to end my life just to stop the pain. And then I realized I can't do this. You know, I got to make a choice here. And I chose, I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to get through this because I'm choosing a higher power, because I know there's big things that I need to do. And even though that I have to go through these painful things of letting go, and this is the thing I tell people, if you can let go, then you will grow, where you'll always be in the light, where you'll always have sight.
Right,
that's something
right.
I wrote, and that's something I live by. Mm-hmm. I see it even more and more. So the stuff around me is just a temporary stuff in my life. It serves its purpose till it's over. But the most important thing is when the souls come to you, they come to you for a reason. Because you were chosen to help them. You're sort of like a guidance counselor. You guide them where they have to go, because that is what you signed that contract before you left heaven to come back here.
Yeah,
I was going through, and you know, Jay, I was going through the same thing you were going through, all those emotions. Mm-hmm. And it was like a difficult thing to try to turn that off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just had to accept it for what it was, instead of living in fear of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I just had to, this is who I am, and I can't, I can't turn it off. You know, I mean,
but you can't, you can't, that's the thing, Jay, you can't now, because you put the vehicle in drive and that's it. You're going to you can't go anymore.
Right.
Elizabeth,
now
I can
roll up the windows. I can roll up the windows and turn the radio on for a little bit, but ultimately I'll still hear on the outside.
They need you. That's why they come to you. They need you. Where about are you in the book? I'm just kind of curious.
I just finished with that first chapter. So you're starting literally it's like the beginning, because you finished your conversation with Gloria.
74.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to learn a little thing about quantum physics in the next story.
Yeah. I love quantum physics.
And that was crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin, Barb, she was one of the first people to buy my book. And she told me she lost sleep because she couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
And she was like, she loves the book, but she said the part about, and I'll just kind of tell you, I got run over by a car. I won't give everything out of the way. So they thought I was run over by a car. She said, that was quantum physics. And I looked at her and smiled. I go, yeah, it probably was. So she just could not put it down. And the strange thing is, her son-in-law is a psychologist. And you're going to love this one. He read the book, a psychologist. And he couldn't put it down. And I was laughing because it's like, a psychologist, I guess he thinks I'm really crazy now. And he just couldn't answer this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But he loved it, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, and she has a friend who's probably listening now, and her name is Doreen. And she thought, okay, what kind of drugs is this guy on? But she's like, but she's like us. So, I mean, this is what you get from people. And it's funny now that, when people get to know the things you can do on a spiritual sense, they want to know more. Now they're curious.
Yeah.
They're like, how does this work? So it's kind of fun now, because I get to entertain people, you know, but it's in a great way. It's a fun way, because this is what spirit wants us to do. They want us to love. They want us to laugh. Mm-hmm. Live. God, they're on the other side saying, crazy, what are you doing? You're wasting time. Do something.
Right. All right. And we live enough on we live enough in reality that we waste too much time. You know.
So true.
So
true.
So our hour is up, and I want to thank Sean. You have been a fantastic guest, and we gotta have you on again because this was very intriguing and interesting, and I am sure that my listeners will get a large dose of reality from you in that sense. And I'm grateful that you reached out to me. So
And just let the audience know, I have a second edition to the book where they can find it on Amazon. I first put it out in color with the high quality paper. So it was a little pricey, but it wasn't about the money. It was just the quality. But I just put out a black and white, which is a lot cheaper. It's more affordable for people. So to each his own who chooses to get this. And my main goal is down the road. I'm saving up some more money because I want to do the Audible, which is like 1500. So I want to put that out because tonight a friend of mine, Jeffrey, who was blind, he loves my story. And for the people that would love to hear it, if they don't want to read it, you know, this is the big thing today with technology. People driving to work, working out, they love listening to Audibles. So, you know, but then some people are the old fashioned ways, right? They want to hold the book in their hand. So,
And Jeffrey was actually in the chats too. So,
I thought so.
So yeah.
Hey, Jeff. Hi, Jeffrey.
Yeah. He's Jeffrey. This guy has the most incredible hearing because that's the thing about when we lose a sense, we gain it somewhere else. And Jeffrey is like, he's amazing when it comes to things like that. He's going to want to be talking to me later.
Yeah, probably. That's so cool. That's awesome. So we want to thank you again. Your book is on Amazon. Anywhere else that they can find your book?
Just Amazon, two editions. Just click on, there's a little thing that explains which one, because you'll see two different prices. You're going to go, oh, this is half price. Just want people to understand that's the black and white. And it was my son, by the way, who said, Dad, you should just put in the black and white anyways. And I said, you're right. So, see, I'm taking advice from my 25-year-old son.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I have it on Kindle, so I know it's on Kindle.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, the whole point was it was time to get it out. 15 years in the making, 3 rewrites, a lot of distractions, a lot of battles, and it was time.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So I want to thank you, Sean, again. This has been great. I want to thank Elizabeth, my other host.
Thanks,
for
Elizabeth.
Gracing
thanks,
us.
Jay.
Thank you, Sean.
It's nice meeting
and
you.
Yes. Go ahead.
Sorry. And Elizabeth, get my email. And when you're finished with the book, send me a message, and if you want to put a review out, please do. I just want to hear your thoughts because I love the fact that I just want to hear what people got from the book because it's such a wonderful feeling just to know that, wow, I loved it. It's like, oh, thank God I did with something right.
Right. There's that validation again. You know,
exactly. I was so worried. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So that our next show should be Thursday. We don't currently have a guest. That might change. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in. This will be on anywhere you get your podcast. My audio file will be uploaded tonight, so you'll be able to hear it when you hear this. You'll be able to see this on YouTube. We want to thank our supporters and everybody who support our show. And this is only the beginning. So want to thank everybody. And thank you so much, Sean. And thank you, Elizabeth. This has been fun. And this is